Michigan Rundown Podcast.
Walton, Chapman, hoist a three. Michigan wins!
At midcourt, extra pass.
And it goes for the win!
Presented by Jake Singer.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Michigan Rundown Podcast. My name is Jake Singer, and on today's episode, I'll be discussing how the Michigan baseball team magnificently made it to the NCAA tournament and will be playing in Louisville in the first round for that tournament in regional play. Now, you might be wondering why I haven't made a podcast in a very long time and why the first podcast I chose to make was about baseball. And the answer to that question is I have been writing for the Michigan Daily all season long on the baseball team as a Michigan Daily beat writer. And so I have covered every single home and away game for Michigan baseball. I know the ins and outs of the team now. I'm super excited for them. I'm excited to finally be able to cover them and talk to you guys as myself instead of being an impartial person. Given all of my articles have had to be very neutral, I haven't been able to root for the team very much. So this is very exciting for me to be able to talk about the team and give my honest input, where all season long I've had to be very careful about what I say. Now, just some background. The Michigan baseball team went 28-25 overall and went 12-12 in Big Ten play this past season. Now, with that record, they could not have made the NCAA tournament. Many people had them as a first-round exit in the Big Ten tournament. In the Big Ten, teams like Maryland and Rutgers were dominating all season long. Maryland finished the regular season with 44 wins and Rutgers with 41 wins, and Maryland had just swept Michigan 2 weeks ago in College Park, where I actually was. Those games, were brutal as a Michigan fan and were even more brutal as someone who has to cover the team and think of things to write about on this team. Rutgers, on the other hand, who had been dominant all season long, when Michigan played them in the final weekend of his regular season, Michigan came away with 2 out of 3 games. And that really set the tone for the Big Ten tournament, because if Michigan had gone to the Big Ten tournament after getting swept by Maryland, its momentum would not have been the same. But after beating the number 2 seed Rutgers twice in 3 games to finish their season, that was a huge confidence booster for this Michigan baseball team that ultimately helped them go the distance. Now, in the Big Ten tournament, Michigan, again, had to fight and claw their way back in every single game. In the first game against Illinois, it was tied 5-5 going into the 8th inning. That's when Michigan had a 2-RBI bunt by Jack Van Remortel, a grad transfer who plays first base but hasn't played much as of recent, which was a really clutch position for Van Remortel to be in. After beating Illinois, they had to go and play Maryland, the number 1 seed, and as I just said, had just swept them 2 weeks ago. But that game was different. In that specific game, Maryland lost to Michigan 15-8, and that lifted Michigan even more. If that wasn't enough, and that confidence hadn't carried them to the end, Michigan then went in after losing the next game to Purdue, although that wasn't necessarily that big of a deal. They went into the final day and dominated Iowa in 7 innings, mercied them to finally make their way to the championship game where they beat Rutgers for the Big Ten championship. Now, as I had said before, Michigan's record was not good enough to make the NCAA tournament after the regular season. They needed to win the Big Ten tournament to even have a chance. And going in as a 5 seed, that's just really hard to win the Big Ten tournament. They had to defeat the top 2 seeds, top 3 seeds, and they did that. And then other things happened around them that really helped as well. Indiana beating Maryland was super helpful for Michigan, and the fact that there was a rain delay the first game of the Big Ten tournament allowed the final game to be a winner-take-all despite Rutgers not losing a single game. In the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament, it is usually double elimination. But in this specific circumstance, Michigan got a chance to play Rutgers in the final game. Although Rutgers had not lost, it was winner take all due to time constraints because of rain the whole first day of the tournament. This allowed Michigan to put on one final showing and defeat Rutgers, without having to defeat them twice in a normal year. So that's the backstory on what's going on with the Michigan baseball team. Some of the players, if you're going to watch this tournament this upcoming weekend in Louisville, to look out for, is Clark Elliott, number one. Right fielder, starting, he leads off for this entire team. He started every game this season. He is also supposed to be a top draft pick. In fact, he's the number one overall ranked prospect in the Big Ten as of right now by D1 Baseball. Clark Elliott is batting 350 this season, and he is balling out. I have written a ton of articles on Clark. He's a great guy to talk to. He always gives good quotes, and I honestly wish him the best of luck going forward, but he is the heart and soul of this team. But if that's not enough, Michigan has a 1-2 punch at the top of their lineup, because behind Clark Elliott in the number two spot in the batting order is center fielder Joe Stewart. Now, you might have heard of Joe Stewart this year, and if you haven't, that's okay, because Joe Stewart did not play for Michigan last season. Joe Stewart finished his four-year undergrad career at Michigan State, the school down the road. Then, Joe Stewart told me in an interview one time that he gave up on baseball. He got his degree. It was still COVID. He actually got a job and entered the workforce. But he entered his name in the transfer portal just to see if any coaches would reach out to him. He wasn't going to go to a program that he didn't respect, that he was just trying to play baseball. He missed baseball. He loved baseball. He knew he was good at baseball. But he wasn't going to sell himself short. And that's when Michigan coach Eric Backett started calling him. Before he knew it, Joe Stewart quit that job after just 2 months and went back to Michigan. Joe Stewart has been the unsung hero for this Michigan baseball team. He is batting 360 and leads the team in stolen bases and home runs. Not to mention, in one game I was at, Joe Stewart hit two grand slams and another three-run home run, giving him 8 RBIs for a single game. That was just unbelievable to watch. Now, after that, you have a lot of veterans. Guys you might have heard of before. Jimmy Overtop, he's the catcher. He was the first baseman last season, has been with the program for 3 years now, really coming to his own. He's had a lot of big games this season, and behind the plate, very little balls go past him. You have a guy like Ted Burton, who has had a really up and down season. At one point in the season, Ted Burton was batting .071. And then he turned it around, and before you knew it, he was batting .325 12 games later. Now, Ted Burton is sitting around .230 batting average, and although he's at the bottom of the lineup, it still provides the power and the strength at the bottom of the lineup for Coach Eric Backett. Riley Bertram. Definitely should have heard of Riley Bertram before. He was on the team in 2019 when they went to the College World Series where they lost to Vanderbilt. He's been the starting shortstop every single game this season. Riley Bertram was arguably the best player in the Big Ten tournament for Michigan. He had 2 4-hit games, and he didn't have a single error in the field. That is really impressive, especially for college. And then you have guys you definitely have not heard of before unless you've been watching all season. You have left fielder Joey Velasquez. Velasquez is actually on the Michigan football team and is a two-sport athlete, but he has definitely come into his own as of late. Coach Backett at the beginning of the season told me that he didn't know who his left fielder was. He was going between Velasquez, Jordan Rogers, and Tito Flores. But he ultimately decided to stick with Joey Velasquez, not just because of his really strong hitting ability, but his fielding, and put Tito Flores in the DH spot where he's been shining as well. Joey Velasquez had made 3 incredible catches during the Big Ten tournament, and he's an integral piece at the number 9 spot in the lineup where he can still get on base at any point in time. And just because Michigan's gotten to the bottom of their lineup does not mean those are the weaker hitters. He finished the season batting .300. And finally, you have a guy like Jake Marty, who's playing first base. As I mentioned a little bit before, Jack Van Remortel, grad transfer out of Umpqua Community College, was playing first base for a lot of the season. But Bakich, just like left field, was really trying to experiment with his first base position. Who would play guys like Vander Mortal, Dylan Stanton, who has had a back injury as of late, and Jake Marty, who is a junior who has rarely gotten playing time in his Michigan career up until now. That said, Marty is really fast, and he's not only a good fielder, but once he gets on base, he can really run, and that has put him continuously in the lineup and has really helped the Michigan offense. He has a good eye at the plate. He's not going to hit home runs for you, but he's really good at drawing walks, and even weak dribblers to the third or first base side that he might hit, he could run it out for a base hit. And that has helped Coach Bakich a lot with runners in scoring position. Once Marty gets on, once Stewart gets on, even when Clark Elliott gets on, once these guys get on first base, they're always looking to steal. And this is something that Bakich has not had much of in the past. Even back in 2019, that Michigan team, you might forget, was still top two in the Big Ten the entire season. Although they did not win the Big Ten tournament, they were still good enough to make this NCAA tournament. This season, had to fight for every single game. They had to score upwards of 10 runs just to defeat opponents. You know, in the Big Ten tournament alone, as I said, they had to put up 15 runs against Maryland, 10 runs against Rutgers, 13 runs against Iowa, 7 runs against Illinois. They had to win big scoring games because of the thing I'll get into next, pitching. I've talked a lot about position players, and there's a reason behind it. The position players are the reason Michigan is where they're at right now. The problem for Michigan going forward, and the problem that they've had all season, is they don't have pitching. They have starters in Connor O'Halloran, who has been a nice surprise for Bakich and the team. He's a sophomore left-hander who is their number one starter now in pitching. But behind him, it gets pretty thin. Guys like Cameron Weston, who came back, could have gotten drafted last year, decided to come back, was supposed to be this huge breakout player for Bakich, has really struggled this season. You have his third pitcher. For a while, he didn't know who it was, Bakich. And eventually, he settled on Chase Allen, sophomore, right-hander. And he's been very good for Michigan. But behind their top three starters in O'Halloran, Allen, and Weston, the bullpen has just been really disappointing. You have your top two guys in Noah Renard and Jacob Denner. And Denner, as I was mentioning a little bit before, was the guy who used to start before Chase Allen took his spot. But behind them, there's nobody else. They've tried. They're trying to get better, some of these guys. You have Willie Weiss, who was actually playing really well until he just got suspended for using a special sticky substance in the middle of the game. So he's now gone for the tournament. You have guys like Logan Wood and Jack White and Avery Goldensoft, Walker Cleveland, guys who might see an inning at a time, but really haven't done much with it. I mean, the team ERA right now, as it stands, is 6.81 as a team. That is not an ideal situation for a pitching staff. So they have to hit. And they have been hitting, but they have to continue to hit. And that will be the thing to look out for as a fan or as someone like me who's covering the team still, is they still need to hit. When Michigan can't hit, they don't win the games because they're bound to give up 5 to 6 runs in a game. It's just, it is what it is. It's going to happen. So they need to hit the ball. And the people that hit the ball are the people I just told you about. Joe Stewart, Clark Elliott, even guys like Joey Velasquez, Jake Marty. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens going forward. They play Oregon on Friday. That is the first game they play. And if they win, they play the winner of Louisville and Southeast Missouri State University. And if they lose, they'll play the loser of that game. Just a little bit of background on their opponents. Oregon finished their season at 35-23 and have pretty big wins against number 2 Stanford, Gonzaga, and Arizona, who are also in the tournament. However, they did lose both of their Pac-12 tournament games. So as of right now, they're in a little bit of a downward spiral, whereas Michigan, who won their tournament, is at an all-time high. So although the Ducks look really good on paper, and they are, believe me, they have hitting, they have pitching, they play in a really tough conference in the Pac-12 where all those teams are competitive every single season, they right now losing their top, their first two games really doesn't bode well for their confidence and going into Louisville where they could have possibly hosted a regional. Now they're traveling halfway across the country to Kentucky to play with probably rarely any fans there. Now, Louisville. Louisville is the team to look out for. They're hosting a regional for a reason. They're ranked 12th in the country, so they're one of the best. They're even better than Maryland, who swept Michigan a few weeks ago, who's ranked 17th. Louisville's good. That said, Louisville also lost both of their games in the ACC tournament. So they're also in a downward spiral. The one thing with Louisville is Michigan had played them this earlier in the season. Now, it was very early on in the season, but Michigan lost 2 of 3 games to Louisville and really didn't play well. They were giving up a lot of runs. They were scoring big runs, but it just wasn't enough. And Louisville was really hitting all of their pitchers. So there's something to be said about, okay, they played them before. We have some experience. It's probably what Coach Bakich will tell me when I interview him later tonight, is we played them before. We know what to expect. Our guys are ready. But the real test will be, are they ready? And we'll see that during the game if they are prepared for this NCAA tournament. Bakich knows how to get his teams together. He knows how to get his teams to the tournament. But although they went to the NCAA championship in 2019, last year's team, who was arguably better during the regular season than this year's team, lost in the first round. Lost both of its games, and they got knocked out. So Bakich really, and he will, but he's really going to have to whip these guys into shape before Friday, because playing out-of-conference opponents are very different than Big Ten opponents. They play differently. Each team has a different skill set. In the Big Ten, the teams made it pretty apparent that they cared more about hitting than pitching. That's not the case for a lot of these teams. Some of these teams, you might not get a single hit on them. So it'll be really, really, really interesting to see how this plays out, but it should also be really fun because, don't get me wrong, this is awesome for Michigan. No one thought they were going to be there. I didn't think they were going to be in this position. We did a prediction article just a week ago where we all predicted who was going to win the Big Ten tournament and where Michigan was going to finish. And I don't think a single one of us four, there's four of us on the baseball beat, put Michigan past the quarterfinal round of the Big Ten tournament, and they ended up winning the whole thing. So I don't know about you guys, I personally am not going to bet against them necessarily the whole time now, but they're going to need to show something on Friday against Oregon to make me believe that they can beat Louisville and continue on into the Super Regional round for the NCAA tournament. So with that, thank you guys. That is my baseball recap as of right now. I would love for you guys to read all of my articles. I have 45 articles I've written on this baseball team this season on every single game. During the week, I'll come out with one tonight on Joey Velasquez and Jake Marty, so you'll get an opportunity to read more about them. I have my Michigan recap on how they made the NCAA regional that came out just 2 days ago. So please, please, please check that out. Just look up Jake Singer at Michigan Daily. You'll be able to read it. But with that, thank you all for sticking with me with this podcast. I know I'm going on a lot more different things right now, and it's been fantastic for my college career. But I'll continue to try to come back here, give you guys updates. But with that, I would love for you guys to follow along with me. So thank you all for listening, and I hope you all have a great day. Go Blue.